You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Find us at willag.org. It's the 23rd day of May. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line for a Friday afternoon. As usual, Mike Zuzalo, he's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy Memorial Day to you. I get kind of excited on this weekend to honor our veterans and the loved ones we've lost. It's kind of nice to go back and think about some of those memories, isn't it?
It is absolutely a wonderful thing, and you know, and I'll tell this story during Monday's show. We will have a program. It's pre-produced on Monday. But that the reason we use poppies is because to celebrate Memorial Day and memorial of those fallen heroes is that Flanders Fields.
You bet.
Near Belgium in Ypres, after they were drained and thousands of young men were left in those fields, that's where they fought the Germans in trench warfare. The poppies sprang up. And so each Memorial Day, we honor them and their memory.
Yeah, I believe that was a poem by a military fellow that he was, I think, a physician or a chaplain or something in World War One. I didn't realize this, but I guess on Memorial Day, you're not supposed to fly the flag at full staff until afternoon, and after the noon hour. I guess you're supposed to fly it at half staff until noon. And I never knew that until doing some research this week.
Oh, wow. I did not know that either.
Yeah,
indeed. Thank you for that.
We'll see if some of our vets call in and say that's right or wrong. I'd like to hear from them and see if that's right or not.
Well, maybe they could call in or they can email me at tgleason@illinois.edu if you do that before the end of the show. I'll confirm it during the show today. Thanks so much. Let's talk about the marketplace just a little bit. An interesting week in Chicago, especially in the soybeans, where we gained, 49 cents in the nearby July for the week.
Yeah, we finally started to see that cash squeeze in the meal market. You know, if you look at the percentage gains and losses for the week, July meal up almost 5%, which led the July beans up about 3.5%. And we're going to probably add about $20 or so a ton to the Gulf price. We're running right around $590 a ton as of today's close, Todd. That's really close to where we were a year ago. And that puts us back up to levels not seen since June, July of last year. So we are indeed seeing a similar seasonal and fundamental pattern that we saw last year after the May USDA report. And I think bottom lining it out is that the trade this week saw total export commitments running at 1.65 billion bushels against USDA's 1.6 billion bushels. And we have to go back and refigure our number of days of usage on beans. And USDA said in this month's report it was 14 days. And I think the trade is starting to believe without Chinese cancellations, without attracting more imports into this country, it's probably more like 10 to 11 days. And so that's why your Midwest meal price right now is exactly the same price as your Gulf meal price. And that's because the beans need to stay at home for the crusher.
Well, they need to stay at home for the crusher, and I suppose that means, and I don't know whether it means any more of a leap in the price of soybeans for the nearby July or not, for that lead option, whatever it happens to be. It's a pretty good jump for the week. It was an outside up week, a new contract high in the July beans. Is there much more upside potential? Are we high enough to keep things at bay? Do we import enough soybeans to make it all work? Do we have to go higher to settle this out?
Yeah, I think a couple things. It's unlikely that we've done enough at this point to solve the cash meal conundrum, and I say that because the research I've done would say the end user, the poultry pork person, has coverage into middle of July, late July, but the crusher or the processor servicing that end user does not have that much coverage. I think also when we talk about Chinese cancellations, the reason Chinese were talking about canceling was because of their margins and the price of beans potentially going down. I think it works in the favor of prices going up that the Chinese are less likely to cancel. The big unknown out there is the Argentine producer who continues to hold his beans as a hard currency and not export it. And that's really what we want to be watching for, is when we start to hear that prices of beans have gotten high enough, or that meal has gotten high enough at our Gulf, that the Argentine producer is willing to start selling his old crop, because they do have ample supply down there. It's just they're not letting it go. So that's probably the number one priority. Until we see that, I think the Midwest crusher is still going to have to bid up to get his needs covered.
All well and good, but I suppose we really need to concentrate on the new crop or the November soybeans and maybe even further out for next year for the Argentinian and Brazilian or South American farmer as they look forward and try to figure out how many acres they want to put in the ground, what we would consider their spring, but our fall. And $12.65¾ and higher, up 44¼.
Yeah, and this is where it goes back to you're talking about a medium-term feature when you're talking about the acreage for the next year for South America and also some of the northern areas of the corn and spring wheat belt of this country. The words on the street and the rumor mill is that we're going to see some acres turn to beans because of this week's rally, especially if the spring wheat guys can't get in the fields over this holiday weekend. And I think that's probably pretty accurate. So the mindset would be, is China adding to the demand or are they going to cut back on the demand? And I think China's economic data, their manufacturing data this week for May, the HSBC Flash Purchasing Managers Index, which is a pretty good guide, is still in contraction. And so I think your demand overall from China when it comes to the raw materials like copper, steel, and soybeans is probably on a downward trajectory, especially as prices go up. So I think 6 months from now, it's going to be tough to reproduce these type of prices unless we have a very bad stand and very hot weather in the month of August and September in this country.
Let's deal with maybe the easiest folks to deal with. If you're in the northern Corn Belt, we get to the 25th day of May, you decide, well, that's it, I'm not going to actually put the corn in the ground, and you don't have it covered with nitrogen, I suppose, and maybe some herbicides that you can't do soybeans. But if you decide to switch to soybeans, do you pull the trigger at the same time you switch and make sales on new crop soybeans too?
Yeah, for those later acres, I think you do at least half your hedging right away. As soon as you get in the planter, you get half that covered at these price levels, you bet. And I think that's where these spring wheat people that may be facing that, they can always leave their basis open. They may take a little bit of a hit to do a hedge to arrive contract, anywhere from 5 to 15 to 20 cents a bushel. It depends on how high that gets, but if it's, 5 cents or less or 10 cents or less, I think a hedge to arrive would make sense, because then if you have any localized problems, that basis should help, cover you for that.
How did you view the corn market for the week?
Oh, golly, I guess the same way I've been viewing it the last 3 weeks. The wheat premium has continued to be sucked out of the market. The corn weather is improving, and so there's really nothing except the cash market and the corn and the bull spread that looks good as we go into the end of the week in the very short term. But, wheat going down to below $260 a ton at the Gulf puts us down at levels not seen since February, and that puts us right in competitive nature with the Europeans. You've also got a 50% retracement line of our next support for hard red wheat, about 20 cents below today's close. So I want to say we're within 20, 25 cents of a near-term low in the wheat, and it could be even closer than that if we have a bad election on Sunday in the Ukraine. Things don't go well, and Russia doesn't live up to their latest talk that they're going to abide by the elections and let the Ukrainians vote.
You have a good Memorial Day weekend with your family.
You too, sir.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Mike Zuzulow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Joins us from his Atchison, Kansas office on this Friday afternoon.